Welcome to the Rod Squad Women's Fitness Rodcast with Rod Cortizo, who's been helping women transform their health and figure for over 20 years. Here, you'll get easy to implement, realistic, and sustainable changes you can make to improve your health and fitness and make the change permanent. This is for women who want to be their best, the fittest, strongest, and leanest at any age. Enjoy.
Hi, everyone. We're back again with another podcast. And today we're going to talk about the myths. Kate has the myths that plague the whole industry. And it's just rampant. And Kate has, Kate has been in the trenches for the past few years.
6 years.
Okay. That's a good amount of years. I've been doing this 20 years. So together we have heard it all. And it is just overwhelming how these women are pretty much overwhelmed with information, contradicting, conflicting information that will just drive anyone crazy.
Yeah.
You know, going from one diet to the next, whether it's vegan or carnivore, they're both opposites. But, you know, then you have the low carb, high carb, low protein, high protein. Is protein healthy? Is protein bad? What is, there's just like an overwhelming amount of information. I call it the misinformation overload. And Kate has put together a few different things that she heard as of late. And that would be very interesting for her to share that with us. And what are we calling this episode today?
Fact or fiction, dispelling the internet's most common myths and misconceptions about fitness for women.
Wonderful. Let's get to it.
Okay, let's start with one that's just educational. Rod, true or false? Muscle forms the foundation of your metabolism and acts as your body's protective shield.
False. It's not the foundation. It is the metabolism. It is all your metabolism practically. So yes, it is true, but I said false because it's not what it makes up your metabolism. It's your metabolism. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it is your metabolism. It's
your
not
metabolism.
Just the foundation. It's more than the foundation.
It is
that important.
Yes. Because when you put together metabolism, you can see it is all the calories. Okay, let's go with the scientific explanation of what a metabolism is. Is all the amount of calories necessary to sustain life, homeostasis, at a given moment. Okay, that's bogus. We don't need to learn that. That's what you learn when you Google it. But it's basically muscle, because muscle is what expends the most amount of calories at any given moment when you put it together. Okay, your organs are working, your brain, your hair, and all those things are growing and moving around, right? But your muscle consumes so many calories in the act of living, of existing. Just to exist, they consume a lot of calories. So by far, muscle is what's more responsible for the calorie expenditure. At rest, we all measure, it's important to mention that we measure this at rest. So at rest, your body is consuming the most amount, using the most amount of calories to keep muscles alive.
Would you say that muscle is even more important for women than men?
I wouldn't say more important than women and men. I think that as we age, we need to be just both of us are being both
both
genders. Okay, but we have different genders nowadays. Oh, anyway, no, that's not this part.
All the genders.
It is important to understand that as you age, you are going to be losing muscle, because an older man will have lost pounds and pounds and pounds of muscle towards his older age, and so are women. Women tend to start losing sooner and in bigger amounts than men, and they start out with less than men anyway. So women need to be even more aware, muscle-centric. This is what we're trying to promote here. We need to, you ladies have to be, should be the number one goal, is to preserve what you have. Don't keep losing to aging, because it is a natural process to lose it. But better yet, try to reverse it by gaining it. You can only reverse sarcopenia, which is the natural muscle loss occurring with age, if you purposely, you go out of your way and you are promoting muscle gain.
Okay.
You can't just like, okay, I want to reverse this by losing, by keeping myself from losing muscle. No, you have been losing ever since you're age 24 or 25. And if you're 30, 40 or 50 or older, you have been losing muscles for decades. So you can't stop the loss so you can be, you know, the healthiest you can. No, you have to gain to reverse it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, another true or false. Good skeletal, good healthy muscle structure enhances your body's ability to manage both carbohydrates and fat.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, fat. Okay, when people say, oh, I'm going to burn fat, remind me to go over carbohydrate as well. Okay, when you talk about fat loss, fat has to have a physical location where it travels to be used as energy. You can't just run or do something or like an exercise or diet and fat just like dissipates into thin air. That's not how it works. The fat has to be dislodged from the skin in a natural process, travel to the bloodstream and going into the muscle to be used as energy. It's muscle is the physical location of fat burning, mm-hmm. of fat usage. Okay, so the more muscles you have, the higher the chances of you, the more fat you can burn.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard it explained that way okay. in all the years I've been hanging out with you.
Well, that just shows you we don't hang out enough. Or maybe that we don't talk enough about this thing, okay? Because we're busy doing what we have to. But yes, that's the physical location. So the more you improve or increase the physical location of fat burning or fat use,
usage, is your muscle.
Which is the muscle. It is burned within the mitochondria. We don't have to get into details, but it's there. It's your muscle. So the other thing you asked me about was carbohydrate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, carbohydrate. Okay. Sugar turns into glucose inside your body, bloodstream. Okay. But sugar, when it goes into the muscle, it's called glycogen. Okay. So your muscles have sugar in them, and they can suck in more sugar. So you can actually stabilize your blood sugar levels by adding more muscle because more muscle sucks in sugar into them and turning glucose into glycogen. So you can use, hopefully, for when you lift or when you do your exercises and whatnot, even cardio or so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it is. It actually can lower. If someone is actually trying to lower their blood sugars, I would actually recommend them. The first thing you need to do is build more muscle. So you can, because muscles work as a sponge. It sucks in. So it can draw sugar from the bloodstream, which is not healthy to have, you know, higher levels of sugar. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
With all the really terrible diseases that you have from high blood sugar, muscle will bring that in and take it out and make you healthier by gaining more muscles. Yes, losing weight, eating healthy, eating less sugars and carbohydrates if you're already, you know, over-consuming and you're having an issue with it, then yes. But first, build more muscle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, another myth that I hear all the time is I'll be talking to someone and when I am interviewing these clients before they begin any of our programs, I'm always like, okay, what is your goal? And oftentimes they have some weight to lose. And then so many times this next thing out of their mouth is, well, I have some weight to lose and I know I should do X, Y, Z. Okay. And the thing that they come up with is like, I know I should eat less calories. I know I should cut back on my carbohydrates. I know I should stop eating so much red meat.
A whole list of things.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But what do you think about those? Like, if you want to lose weight, do you need to cut calories, cut out carbs, cut out red meat?
Basically what I'm hearing, it's not even the question. I'm hearing the problem, mm-hmm. which is excuses. Okay? A lot of people are very good about making excuses why they are unsuccessful. Okay, so they will be blaming, oh, I know I need to do this and that and the other, but why haven't they been doing at least trying? Okay. For me, that sounds just like excuses. I think the problem is a lot deeper than that. But to answer your questions, the way you asked me, but I'm just reading into it. I think there is taking responsibility and understanding that you're eating a lot more calories than you're expending. And even though you're eating not so much food, but you obviously, if you have body fat on you and you are not losing, it's because you're consuming a lot more calories than you're expending. And this is fundamental. Okay. It's irrelevant of whatever diet. It's completely not dependent on what you choose to do in terms of like philosophy of eating. Okay. This has just to be a physical. Your body is going to store the extra calories as body fat, period. So it could be less carbs, or it could be more carbs because you're eating too much fat, or it could be so many different reasons. But I'm reading into it and I just think it's like a bunch of, you know, or maybe this person or these people who are asking these questions, they're so confused beyond their mind that they have no clue what they're doing and they're truly not making excuses.
Well, do you think that cutting out red meat will solve the problem?
Well, yeah, if you have high cholesterol, I guess, or if you're eating fatty meats and you're overweight and you eat a lot of it, like burgers and you know, fatty meats and.
But I think what you're trying to say is it's not. It's not the red meat that's the problem.
It's not the red meat per se.
It's the calories.
Exactly. It could be eating too much salmon. It's healthy fat, isn't it? It could be. I know a lot of women, and I've talked to dozens upon dozens of women when we were running these programs online during the, you know, the C word that I don't know if we can even
say. The pandemic,
yeah, you know, those things. You know, a lot of women have put a lot of good effort into their fitness, into their cardio, into their lifting, into their diet too. They had amazing diet, healthy diet, but they were just overdoing with the healthy fats, which is the case for most women who are quote unquote healthy.
Like salmon and olive oil.
Salmon, olive oil, seeds and nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Coconut, fats, dietary fats, avocado. You want me to stop or want me to keep going?
That's
good. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's way too many calories, but it's healthy, Rod. The doctors, and I see it everywhere, it's healthy fats. It's not healthy if it's making you fat. So, yeah, it's not that red meat is the problem, but you could have red meat galore to what you want. And maybe you have, you know, leaner cuts, okay? London broil filet or the aisle round and so on and so forth. And just the same as instead of salmon, you could have, if you want to cut down on calories, could have white fish, seafood and all that. Yeah. So how would you explain? She knows. Kate knows that, you know, I actually saw somebody outside the door and I didn't recognize, but I recognized he was a photographer. I recognized his camera. His shirt from his business. I'm like, oh my God, he's hiring different people. Well, it was this guy that got extremely skinny and lean and he's loving it.
It's somebody we know well. We just haven't seen him in a while.
And then he sent him a text. Hey, what's happening? I saw this one guy here. No, oh, it was me. And I would have gone out. Long story short, the guy is so slim. He's loving it. And all he eats is exclusively. He's on a carnivore diet. I'm not recommending that. I don't do carnivore diet. I love vegetables. I love carbs. And I love to recommend whatever the people like to eat. But just be understanding that calories in, calories out always count at the end of a week. And this guy is just ripped. He's just like loving his life. But I'm sure he's not eating lean meat. I'm sure he has cut out the carbs and the fruits and the vegetables. It's a carnivore diet. I mean, if you don't know what a carnivore diet, then go look it up. And then I have people who are vegans and they're shredded. Just that, there's my point.
Right. So like,
it's not the meat. It's not having meat. It's like, you know,
you have to find what works for you.
Whatever the hell you like. Right. Just don't get fat. If you're getting fat, you're eating too much of it or you're not moving enough. It's so simple.
So like when you see influencers or you read on the internet, oh, you're getting fat because of meat, or you're getting fat inflammation. Because of this.
Oh, because of inflammation. Oh, you get fat because of inflammation. Oh, because of the chemicals and all that. That's this one blonde girl. I don't even know. I should have unfollowed her, but I just find it. I laugh. I'm like, oh my God, people actually following
Real Foodology.
Yeah, the blonde girl, the skinny girl. Oh my God.
She puts out a lot of good information, for people that are clueless.
Clueless about the chemicals and stuff. But the problem of America is fat.
Right.
The problem of America is obese, is heart disease, and all of that. And none of that stuff is actually going to play directly into you becoming slim or becoming obese.
So her whole thing is like, she goes into the grocery store and looks at all these food labels, and she'll say, this isn't even real food, and we're feeding it to our children because all the processed food in America is garbage. It's true what she's saying, and she does a good job raising awareness for most people. But the thing is that most of our clients are not the overweight ones.
Right.
That's not really who we serve. Yes, these are people that are really a little bit more educated about their health and are more conscious of the ingredients on the labels.
Yeah. Well, now we're going to a rabbit hole. Maybe we should do a whole podcast about this one girl and the types. There are some other ones that are alike. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like she promotes, you know, very good health.
Yeah.
I feel like she might be a drinker, and people who talk about, oh, the chemicals here, the chemicals there, but then they have regularly alcohol, which is the worst drugs of them all.
Yeah.
It is the terrible drug, and anyone who talks about, you can't, hexane or glyphosate, whatever it is in the foods, like, you can't eat that, but they're having a drink. Oh, it's organic grapes from Egypt, and you know, Cleopatra used to eat those grapes on her little boats and sagas and whatever. I mean, yeah, okay, fine, but you're doing something that's very detrimental to your health, which is alcohol. Anyone who promotes anything good about alcohol should be fired, okay? I'm not saying not to drink. You do what you will. You do what you want, but you can't go open your mouth and talk about chemicals and then, and have a drink at night.
Yeah.
Okay, please, let's put things into perspective. That's my one beef with that one girl. Yeah. That's one.
You know what the common enemy is among all of this is processed foods. Processed foods. That the girl we were just talking about, her whole thing is the processed foods are just full of garbage and fillers, that these companies insert all kinds of fillers into their products just to make a profit. I just saw an article yesterday about Panera. Panera had a major growth in 2015 when they came out and they said they were going to change a lot of the ingredients in their food. Mm-hmm. They were going to use some organic ingredients. They were going to remove some of the toxic seed oils, like all that kind of stuff. And then now they're getting ready to go public, or they're getting ready to sell. Something big is about to happen. And it just came out that they have been slowly but surely taking away a lot of that stuff that made their business grow in the first place and reducing the quality of their food.
Maybe they sold it already, and that's why they're doing that.
So that happens a lot.
Increase their profit margin.
That happens a lot. But the thing is, with vegans, a lot of vegans, instead of eating real food, then they end up eating processed food, which is, you know, inflammatory seed oils, garbage. Yeah. But the point is, Rod's point is, it doesn't matter what you eat.
Yeah.
And if you need to lose weight.
This is yet another topic for a different podcast, and then we can cover that. But we were just talking about like the myths. Mm-hmm. But let's just summarize this because even if you're eating the most inflammatory, like you're trying to get cancer, like you're a person, I'm going to try to get cancer and all I'm going to eat is refined food, and you still can look ripped and fit. Yeah. Okay, eating whatever the diet is, just as you just need to understand that if you eat too much of it and you're going to get fat, the problem is you're not going to be healthy if you're eating refined foods. Not that the refined foods are bad and going to kill you. It's just that you're not going to get full from it. You're going to be tending to consume more calories because than normal.
You're malnourished.
Because you're malnourished. This is one of my big things I usually say is that if people are fat, it's because they're malnourished. People look at me like I have three heads and like, because all you eat is calories. You don't eat food, fruits and vegetables and lean proteins and be healthy and fruit, full of vitamins and and phytochemicals and, you know, all the healthy stuff, minerals and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But that's just to summarize this.
You just know, because someone looks healthy doesn't mean they are healthy.
And just because someone is eating an unhealthy diet, that doesn't mean that they're actually going to be unhealthy. Are they lifting? Are they doing their cardio? Are they getting good sleep? Could they be better if they eat a more whole food diet? Yes, no doubt about that. But let's not make that the excuse of America.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening a lot right now.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to make sure that's clear. What you're trying to say is that a lot of times right now, people are blaming the ingredients in the food and things like that instead of just taking responsibility for the fact that if you're overweight, you know, it comes into calories in, calories out.
And no one is putting a gun to your head for you to eat those things to begin with.
Right.
Okay. Then look for more wholesome things. Go eat an apple, will you?
But in people's defense, I think, again, the general public does not realize that these big food companies literally make it so that the foods are addictive.
Oh, no. Yeah, well,
this is it's very not only intentional. That,
but they're actually they're hiring dietitians and doctors to come out and say the flat out. Now they're even telling the Kellogg's, you know, because people are having financial difficulties here nowadays. And some people, they're recommending it for them to have cereal for dinner.
This is horrendous.
You don't have to, okay? Go eat an apple. Go eat a pear. All right, go plant something, go hunt something. I don't know if you're really concerned about the chemical stuff. And then I'll try to go with the organic whenever you can. You know, look for the Dirty Dozen. You know, minimize your consumption of refined or some things that potentially have chemicals that, God forbid, you can't have. You know, avoid those and go more natural, wholesome. And that's it. And I think that's it. I mean, let's move on because I think we beat down on a dead horse.
Okay.
Did you know they eat horse in Japan?
Not quite. I didn't know that.
No. I will not be interested in that.
Anyway. Okay. Another myth. Taking an ice bath after a tough workout improves recovery.
Wrong. It's like the worst thing you should do. I mean, how many people are going to do that? How many people willingly are going to go into freezing water after a workout? Okay, I don't think we need to spend too much
time. There's a new fitness concept that's opening.
It's been around forever.
But they have people doing workouts and then doing an ice plunge.
Yeah, okay. So when you so people talk about the inflammation, like it's like the I word. Oh my gosh, you can't have inflammation. Inflammation is how you grow. You put a hurt to your muscles, okay? And they will get inflammation repair and go through the whole process of healing to reconstruct and repair and have new stronger muscle cells. Mm-hmm. Well, you're trying to freeze that to stop that process or make it cold enough so you minimize inflammation, but that interferes with the ability of putting the damage and heal and grow stronger muscles.
Yeah. So not all inflammation is bad inflammation.
Right. Exactly. And especially when you put inflammation to the muscle and you're achy and stuff, that is the process. It's a natural process. You want to get strong. You want to build more muscle. You have to deal with it. Now, if you are an athlete or you are a person, recreational athlete, and you're doing heats after heats, or, you know, like you have a whole day of competition, you want to jump into a freezing tub, you know, and be like a penguin. I can see the benefit to, you know, kind of like stop that, you know, that process of inflammation so you can heal up again because you got another game coming in the afternoon or another. When I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking of surfing because when they go out of the water and they have to surf two or three times a day for 30, 45 minutes each round, what they need to do. I would go into it because I want to, you know, recover. And I don't want that inflammation and the ache and the tiredness that comes associated with all that effort, the physical effort, you know, that would be good. I could do that. If I was at a surf trip and then there was a freezing tub there, I would consider going in there because like surfing every day when you're not used to all of a sudden at a trip or something like whatever sports, you just translate this information to whatever sport you're thinking. Yes, you're going to have the benefits then so you can keep performing. You're a fighter. I don't know. You're fighting three bouts, you know, whatever, three different people in a day. Then I see that. But no, why would you do that? I mean, it's a fad. Try it. See. People are stupid. I mean, we all are. I mean,
be nice. Okay, another myth. If you don't feel sore the day after you work out, you didn't train hard enough.
Incorrect. You don't have to. If you are never sore, chances are you're not working hard, working out hard enough. But if you're always sore, you're overdoing it. And you're not going to the gym as often as you could, or you will not be recovered for the next exercise if you're really too sore. Sometimes it takes too many days. Well, you're going too many days without working out because you can't. If your legs and glutes are way too sore, like you can barely walk, how are you going to get to the gym and squat deep with the same amount of weight or even better? I mean, challenge a little bit more. If you're too sore, that's too much. If you're never sore, not even an awareness, yeah, girlfriend, you need to challenge yourself a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in a beat down. You don't have to have a beat down. But people are like, okay, oh, I let myself go. Oh, I got so fat. Oh, I got so out of shape. And then they go and they sign up for something crazy and they want to work out 5, 6, 7 days a week. And then they're just like, okay, I'm beaten down on my structure here. Something is going to happen. Yeah, injury is going to happen.
Okay, another one. True or false, your muscle will turn into fat if you stop working out.
How can that be? Well, wine turns into water. Maybe we can believe in miracles. That's crazy. That's crazy. No. Well, crazy in a way, but you know, muscle, fat can be found within the muscle, but no muscle can be found within fat. So meaning if your muscles are out of shape, yes, you can start storing more fat. And just like when you go to the store and you walk down the aisle, the meat aisle, and you see the meats, some meats are redder, some meats are whiter, have more marble. Well, this is the same for us too. But it doesn't change muscle to fat. No, is that what you asked?
Yeah.
There is a little bit of an argument there that the fat that you have on your body can be used for energy to help you build muscle in the presence of enough protein and in the presence of a need, meaning you have damaged the muscle, like you have challenged the muscle by lifting and doing an exercise. So the energy from the body fat can aid in the muscle development. But you'd have to be in a good calorie deficit for that to happen. So that's what I'm saying. That's the argument right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But no, muscle doesn't turn to fat or vice versa.
Okay. Yeah. Another one?
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, I know.
No, I think it was fine.
Yeah.
Another one is true or false, the more sweat during your workout, the better.
Oh, then go to the sauna and get skinny and ripped.
That's not how it works.
That's not how it works. The sweat is a response to the heat being generated, whether it's from the inside, from your muscles, or from the room that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So no, and some people are more sweater than others. Yeah. Some people sweat more than others. Some people hardly sweat.
Sweating is definitely healthy. That's like your body's natural detox system.
Yeah, we can say that too.
But it's healthy, but in terms of your fitness results, it's not necessary.
Yeah. Well, just as long as you don't go in a sauna and try to lift so you can sweat more and feel like you're doing more. Oh, but my Fitbit or my Apple Watch is saying, well, I'm burning so many more calories because they're looking at the heart rate. Your heart is beating so fast, so much faster because you're in the heat. What is happening there? Your body's just trying to cool itself down to try to pump more blood into the surface of the skin, aka red skin, or like, you mm-hmm. know, when you're hot, you get, because your body's trying to cool itself out, you know, and that's why the blood is on the surface of the skin and it look redder. But that's because your body's trying to, you know, evaporate through evaporation and the sweat to cool the skin down, which is like the worst thing for when you're trying to really push hard your muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Because muscles are blood is leaving the muscles to go to the surface of the skin to cool yourself down. So it's actually worse when you're trying to work out in the heat. We can do a whole thing about this in another different podcast. But don't put Don't go in the heat. You don't need to. If your heart rate is much higher because you're doing something in the heat, you're not burning any more calories. You're actually doing the opposite. You're burning less calories because you have less blood flow to the muscle, the working muscle, because the blood is going to the skin to cool yourself down. When you're red and you're hot, what do you think that is? Makeup? Natural makeup that happens? No, it's blood to the skin. That blood is not going to the muscles you're trying to work.
Mm-hmm. So, and this also applies, like, a lot of people think that they need to be doing, you know, high intensity workouts because it makes them so sweaty. They're used to that. And they think if they're just doing a lifting workout, for example, that's really like muscle centric, and they're not getting as sweaty as they would if they were outside running, you know?
Yeah, because cardio generates more muscle heat. So, yeah, they're going to sweat more. And therefore, just because
that doesn't mean it's better for you.
Just because the exercise feels more intense, it doesn't mean it's more beneficial for the long term. Mm-hmm. Like, you are creating more of a response in the time in the terms of changes, the physical changes that you're doing to your muscles. No, that doesn't mean that.
Yeah.
Is that clear?
Like, yeah, that's clear.
I mean, I can go in rabbit holes and I can go on all day. So.
No, that's good. Okay, I think we did enough for this episode.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow, I was ready for battle. I thought there was something like, you know, it could be some dispute.
No, that's good. So the point is, don't fall into all these traps. Be careful what you believe and just keep it simple. I know it can be really easy to overcomplicate matters, but what Rod's whole point was, if you need to lose weight, then you just need to have either burn more calories, you know, use more calories or consume less calories or both.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be dramatic, just slightly
do
over
increase
time.
Your metabolism too, because a higher metabolism, aka muscle, you mm-hmm. are going to burn more calories. So
yeah, make sure you focus on muscle development.
Yeah. Well, actually, this is good because I was just talking to someone about this. Like, you take two twin girls, like a set of twin, and then one just gets involved with diet and cardio and whatever. And the other one, whatever it is, her diet, but she is involved with, you know, focus, muscle-centric training and consuming enough protein and all the stuff necessary to help the muscle grow. And these girls, they're like in different states, let's say California and New York. And then they all of a sudden, they meet and they're going to go for a walk. They hang out for a whole week. Well, the one with the higher muscle, when they go for a walk, you know, at the end of the week, will have burned a whole lot more calories.
Mm-hmm, because she has more muscle.
Because she has more muscles. But they're twins. They're identical twins. So just to illustrate like the visual that muscle is like the most important thing to focus on. Obviously, you need to lose body fat. Obviously, you need not to eat crap. Let's just face it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, take responsibility, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, be muscle-centric.
Yeah. If you're in South Florida,
I've been preaching this for 20 years. And I'm so happy to hear that finally, people are waking up to that. There are, like, people coming out and actually writing books about it.
Yeah.
It makes my job so much easier, more enjoyable too. I don't feel like I have to waste like my life try to educate these people. Just get this book, get the other book, and then just lift. Just lift with good form and good practice so you don't get hurt, yada, 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 yada.
Yeah, I've noticed a big shift too. Even when I first started working with you, there were a lot more women that were like, no, I don't want to lift weights. I'm afraid of getting bulky.
I always had to disguise the lifting mixed with the cardio and all that because that's what it was popular. That's what they wanted. And for decades now, this is what I've always been promoting.
But nowadays, I'm getting a lot more women that are like, I know I need to lift. You know I need it for my bone health, for my structure, obviously it's for aesthetic purposes, but it's for your health too.
Well, if you understand the health benefits for it, it'll give you an extra reason for you to be out there. And we, like, you know, because we have our in-person studios. Now we're coming up with another studio here in West Boca Raton, Florida. It's much easier to convince and sell the participants into showing up on time and lifting hard enough, but, you know, yet safe, of course, because, you know, you can just throw your whole game off with injuries. If they focus also on the health benefits, you know, the blood sugar stabilization. And now there's like talk of what's being secreted within the muscles that fights off cancer. I'm not coming out and saying that yet because I haven't seen enough studies and stuff. But I believe in everything that you claim about muscle. I would believe because yeah. It is golden. It's the organ of youth, and it's what's going to shape you. And this is what's been missing in your life ever since you turned 24, 25 years old. So, yeah, I love to any health benefits that we can promote, at least within my business here, our business, what we're doing here. It's better to educate them in all the healthful benefits of muscle development other than have a better ass and looking awesome on the beach and all that. So, yeah, I'll also, let's not even go about to get the butt and the legs, what you're doing for your bone mass in terms of benefits. Yeah, the list just goes on. Let's just close this episode today and let's move on. And what do we have to say?
No, that's it.
Yeah, we're in South Florida. We got a few programs online if you want to, you know, exercise programs. If wherever you are, you want to look at it. We have beginners from 20 minutes to 30 minutes, 45 minutes, a whole hour exercise, whatever you can put out, we have a program for you. And we're opening locations in South Florida. So if you're around Boca Raton area, Palm Beach, and, you know, just the neighboring cities, come check us out, rodsquad.com.
All right. Well, have a good day, everyone. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. Share this episode with a friend if you enjoyed it.
Yes, and we'll see you next time. Text it to your friend. You know, push that little button there and text it to a friend. It's if you have someone that you truly care and you know they're going to benefit from this information, share it away.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.